Hey, Barstool listeners, you can find every episode of this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new Zero Sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new Zero Sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today.
All right, bang, bang. Welcome to Dave Portnoy Show with Eddie and Company.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chi.com. That's 3Chi.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
All right, to kick it off, we got a couple of guests coming on later. Rico's going to stop by. I think Mike Rinelli's going to stop by. But first of all, I think everyone wants to hear about how you almost got shot.
They do?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's like that tweet was like, how the hell did you end up in the middle of that fire?
Are you too loud in my ears? How do I turn that down? Is that me?
I don't know. Austin? Anyone?
Whatever. I'll go. Obviously, clearly I'm exhausted. But yeah, so we went to, we had our event on, it was Friday night, like a Penn event. So Sabrina, Penn VIP, we went a little bit there, and then I met a couple of my friends, and we went to the Bieber concert. I've never seen Bieber perform live, by the way. It was pretty sick. So went there, and then there was an after party at a place called Nice Guy. And we only went for like 20 minutes maybe, but it was the most packed celebrity place I've ever been. It's not a big club at all. Like I would say smaller than Barstool Chicago, like the Bar River North. And in the club was Drake, Bieber, Hailey Baldwin, Kardashians. I saw Dixie DeMello, Leonardo DiCaprio, Tobey Maguire, everybody. It was like A-list in this place. But we didn't stay very long. It was so busy, so crowded. So we walked out, and in between the time period, the people I was with, the guys I was with, they had a driver. In between the period of leaving the club and stepping into the car, the gunshots were like, I don't know, 10 feet away. And our driver, whose security was pretty on top, he's like, get in, duck, duck, duck. And then he peeled the fuck out. It was crazy. I've never been around gunshots. So, it was a wild scene. And then obviously we read about it the next day. I guess Kodak Black like got in a fight and someone shot him in the leg. Three people got shot. So it was a wild scene.
How was
I was super close. Like, I wasn't exaggerating. Like, I was right there.
And you just had no idea what was going on, or obviously you ducked?
No idea.
Did you talk to Leo or no?
No. I didn't talk to any of those people. I talked to Dixie. That's it.
How was Bieber live?
Great.
Yeah.
I've never seen him live. I was under the impression that he kind of lip-synced. I thought that's what he did on his concert, but he was not lip-singing here. He was singing very live. I also sat next to, which you'll know this name. I got put at a table like right up front. And there's a lady who like kind of crawled past me, and I'm like, who is this lady, like drunk? What's she doing? And then she sat next to me, or was next to me, and she's like, you're my husband. I'm like, what? I'm like, is this lady drunk again? She must be. And then she introduced, she's like, my name's Estee. Once she said that, I knew exactly who it was. That's Michael Jordan's like right-hand lady. Does everything for him. Mm. Estee Portnoy. So I've heard the name a million times because her last name is the same as mine. So people always are you related to Estee Hale? Are you related to Estee? And she said the same thing. She's like, yeah, all people always ask, am I related to you? And she went to Michigan.
Oh, damn.
You don't know that name?
No, I honestly don't.
By your blank Eddie-less expression that you're very good at perfecting, the Eddie?
I honestly don't
I could tell you had no idea. I don't know how you can be in Chicago and not know who that is.
I mean, just because she has the same last name as you do doesn't mean that everyone knows that. I mean, that's why you know it, because people ask you all the time.
No, I know it because it's Michael Jordan's right-hand person. I would say man, but she's a woman. Like, S.A. Jordan, Jordan doesn't get out of bed without this woman. It has nothing to do with the last name, Eddie.
And 1,000% does.
Blank Eddie.
Yeah, I guess. I know. I honestly didn't know.
Why don't you read what it says about her?
Yeah, she's the business manager and spokesperson for Michael Jordan.
For like 20 years. She's the number one person in Jordan camp. Her nickname is Venom.
Oh, damn. She's married to Elliot Portnoy. You're not related to him then, I assume.
No, I know Portnoy. But, I mean, I would think if you lived in Chicago and you were a Jordan, you would know who Estee Portnoy is. But I guess not.
Who are you with?
There were, like, two of my friends. I was with them the prior night, too.
Oh. Well, all right. Sounds like one fucking hell of a party, L.A. Dave. Is Grinnell here yet, Kareem? Do we want to talk to Grinnell? Grinnell caught a Saturday shot, I would say. What's up, Grinnell?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you guys?
I don't know if it was more of a shot at Grinnell. It was more at Soho Club. So Rudy was – I don't even know how it came up, to be honest. But Rudy mentioned that Grinnell was in Soho Club. I tried to get into Soho Club when I moved to New York and got denied. By the way, they're like the blue check marks. That's the equation I'd use. I mean, if Grinnelli is getting into Soho Club, you don't want to be in Soho Club. Not if you're my stature. Like, I know Kevin Hayes is in Soho Club. I'm in, like, a far, not like this, that, but, like, I do belong to one of those things in New York that I guess is the big leagues, and Soho Club's a frat house now. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I said it on Chicklets today. The only first off, I love Soho House. Great people, great place, great facilities. But I got the Soho House membership because every single time I take Glitz guys out to dinner in New York City, I get shit. Whatever restaurant, too long of a wait. The food's cold. There's always a problem. So I said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to pay the money. I don't have the money to pay, but I'll pay the money, and I'll get the Soho House membership so everyone stops bitching.
But, right, here's how I tried. When I moved to New York, I had never heard of Soho Club. It just so happens my apartment, which I no longer have in New York, was dead ass across the street from it, like literally across the street. And we didn't have a CEO, and I was interviewing candidates. And the first two candidates that I interviewed, they're like, where do you live? I said, where I live. And they picked Soho House to meet. So I went in, did a business meeting. I'm like, oh, this is perfect. Until we have our office, I can use this. So to apply, you need two recommendations. I think Peter Chernin was one of my recommendations. And this other guy, never heard back, never heard a peep. I've talked about it. There's a picture of Kevin Hayes and his buddies. I can see the pool from my roof deck. So there's a picture of like Kevin Hayes flipping me the bird while I'm on my roof deck. So this was, what, 5-6 years ago? So it's not just Grinnelli's like, oh, I got to get it. The fact that they would accept Grinnelli, unless things have changed or they didn't like me, I'm in a place called Zero Bond in New York.
Oof. Zero Bond's the big boys. That's the big dogs.
Correct. Zero Bond is like, it's laugh out loud fun. Like, you know who originally, like, Brady, that's how they got my number. For like, hey, you want to join Zero Bond? Zero Bond is the best. The best food, best people, best everything. I guess, what is Soho House? And by the way, I think that's one of the reasons Zero Bond started. They're like, Soho House is a joke. Grinnelli, you people like me are going to get away from the Grinnellis of the world. You don't want to walk into Soho House and see Grinnelli. It's like, oh, why am I paying to go hang out with Cornelli?
There's worse people than me.
I can go to Hooters if I want to hang out with Cornelli. That's basically what Soho House is. It's a slightly elevated Hooters.
Get out of here. Don't take your anger out because you didn't get in on Soho House. Soho House is a fantastic establishment. Sometimes you wait a little long for the food, but spa, they got the library. They got it all there.
You just said the big leagues is zero fun.
You can still be place and not be the big leagues. No, I'm not a big leaguer. I'm a minor leaguer. I'll go to the minor league establishment.
Yeah, you pregame at Hooters and go get some fucking anybody now apparently can get into Soho. And by the way, I was asked after, like, do you want to get into Soho? It's like, are you serious? You think that I'm going to take – like, Kevin Hayes, like, my buddy owns Soho House or something. I'm like, you think I want to be in Soho House? Like, that's the blue Twitter. It's Twitter. Anybody. You look at him sideways. Honestly, I'm not joking. Why would they let Mike Grinnelli in fucking any place that's exclusive?
Pretty simple. I produce the biggest hockey podcast in the world. I think that's pretty simple. I need to network.
But that's like a low-level guy. I understand if it's like Whitney or Biz, but...
But you just said Soho House isn't the big leagues. So if it's not the big leagues, Whit and Biz, they're going to zero bond.
Correct.
Yes, exactly.
You're Hooters. Yeah, you're Hooters.
No, this is a step up from Hooters. It's in between the Hooters and zero bonds.
Nothing wrong with Hooters, to be clear.
There's nothing wrong with Hooters. I love Hooters. Hooters is the best.
Let me tell you something. No joke, zero bonds. Somebody took a picture of me. They kicked them out. They're like, they asked me for a picture. And I said, yes, I don't care. I'm fine with it. But you're not allowed to, like, that's because, like, you go in there, you eat dinner, Kai goes fucking the DJ, and you got fucking the guy from Google who invented it. It's a nice place. And the food is the best food in New York City.
I went to Zero Bond one time, and
Kareem
brought
me.
Kareem brought me.
Kareem? How'd Kareem get in?
Kareem knew a guy. Actually, no, Kareem was... Yeah, he knew a guy.
We knew guys.
All right, well, that's not happening again. I'm going to literally text my friend and be like, put your faces on the thing. You're not getting in either.
Fuck. Sorry, Kareem. What?
You knew a guy? No. Then we have to build a new one if Kareem and Grinnelli are getting in there.
I can't get in there?
No.
You wouldn't take me?
No.
Not even once?
Kareem, nope. I got a guest pass for Soho House just waiting for
you. Yeah,
we'll
you don't need guest passes.
Pool.
What about Gaz? Gaz is in here. Would you take Gaz to Zero Bond?
Nope.
All right, that makes me feel better.
Oh, wait,
better.
Did I?
Yeah, I've been to Zero Bond with you. You're my guy.
Oh.
I won't take Gaz anymore.
I went to Soho House once.
See, these are the guys you should be taking a zero bond. Me, Kareem, Gaz, we grind for you. We work for this company. We work our ass off for this company. We're the hardest workers at this
company. Gaz would break the rule. Gaz would have 3,000 Instagram photos and stories of him doing this and his bald head. And like Gaz is a girl on social media. He wouldn't survive there.
Is
he
it strict? No pictures at all?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, didn't Silvana get in trouble for doing that at Zero Bond?
Yeah, that we Google got party or whatever, right?
We got in a fight over that because they made an exception to your. There was a party. This was not normal rules. It was that guy Sergi's party from Google, and there were no phones. They took them when you entered, but it was also a Saturday, and I had the board, so the guy like let me have my phone so I could check scores. And Silvana got her phone, and then just started like taking photos of everybody, which was not allowed. No, this whole crew. Go to Soho House.
I told you, we have a guest pass waiting for you if you want to come.
I've been.
Yeah, well, if you want to come and hang out with me.
I'm not even joking. I don't like Soho House. They denied me. They never even had the dignity to be like, why I was denied. I'll never go back there. But all things, Zero Bond's 1,000 times nicer. They're two different class of people. Grinnelli, if they want to make Soho House a cool place, Grinnelli should not be in there. That's a fact.
I think that's a very fair statement.
You can have a list. There is a difference between like Kygo and Grinnelli.
I think that's very fair.
Grinnelli, do you think Dave hates you?
half the business floor at Barstool has memberships at Soho.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I did it, because when I heard all they did it, I'm like,
no,
they
Soho
can get in,
House
can get
is in. The YMCA. Anybody gets in now. It literally, I don't know if they just changed their business model. It used to be like an exclusive thing. Now it literally, it's just, we just charge you money to hang out where everyone else. It makes no sense.
My card is going to be revoked. Right when I walk in the door, they're going to cut that thing up.
There is zero exclusivity anymore to the Soho.
What if I told you that me and Grinnell saw Sausage at Zero Bond?
I'd also put his face on there.
We didn't, but I was just curious to what you would do.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. Sausage was somebody who would get taken there for dinner by a very good client or something.
What do you do?
I don't like seeing my people. I'm glad. I don't want to associate. When I go out, I don't want to see Grinnelli.
Did you apply Grinnelli? How did it work?
Yeah, Hazy took me there one time, and then after
it does make sense. Kevin Hayes is buddy is somebody who runs it or something like that.
Yeah, I got a lashing from Biz last time they were in New York. I think I took them to Catch Steak or something, and they weren't happy with it. So
Catch
I just
Steak
said,
is good.
I love Catch Steak. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I thought I brought them to a good spot. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not fucking doing this anymore. I'm like, I'm buying the fucking membership so they can't bitch.
Biz is a Budokan guy.
Oh, Biz is a Budokan guy.
Yeah.
Definitely. He's a Tao guy. He loves the Tao spots.
Wait, how can you bitch about Catch Steak if you whatever? That makes no sense.
Oh. Well, all right, Grinnell. How you feel? How's your and Dave's relationship? You guys cool now or no, Grinnelli?
I think we're cool. I mean, I think
that wasn't a shot at Grinnelli in particular. It's anybody. If anybody, if Rudy or Gaz or any of those people.
Do you still hate me, Dave?
No.
Appreciate that.
It's a positive of the day, right?
That just made my day, so I'm going to have a good one today.
You got a lot of meetings, right? You got a lot of shit to do today, Grinnelli?
Ton of shit, boys. We're planning for the Chicklets Cup. It's coming to Buffalo. You can sign up soon, chicklettscup.com. We're building a wagon here in the Chicklets Cup. Dave, I'd love to get you to come play goalie at one of these things.
Maybe.
There you go. All right, thanks, Grinnelli. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, I think Rico's coming on here.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I hurt my chest. I don't know how.
Monster hits only. Buddha Ben.
What?
You took a big...
No. It's sore. I don't know what's going on.
Oh. Is Rico there, Kareem?
He's on his way.
He's on his way. All right. Wait, what about AI? Didn't you see you had a run-in with AI, too?
Yeah. I saw him. First of all, there's very few, celebrities that I sweat. AI is, one of them. I was, nervous to talk to him. But I have that painting, obviously. Not obviously. The painting of me stepping over Goodell Tyron Lue. So I showed it to him. He gave me a pretty good fake laugh. And then I'm like, do you know Wallow and Gilly? He's like, yeah, they're my boys. He's like, well, they kind of work for me, whatever. And then I tried to get Wallow and Gilly to text me back, but they ghosted me.
You're not going to be on the show. It's a line in the sand. You're frozen out from Wallow and Gilly.
Yeah, they said when they were in, they said they put me on, but I don't think they have any attention.
All right, so here he is, fresh off suspension. Rico Bosco, how are you?
Good. What's going on?
So you guys obviously saw each other, so I'm sure you guys talked about a lot of shit, but I guess I kind of want to get into it here for people that, haven't seen you or heard from you in about a month. How was everything? How was the month off? Was it like a vacation, or was it like a hard lesson? How'd it feel?
No, it shouldn't be a month off. I said it. It was little by little. The first day after we interviewed Little Mo Mozzarella, I couldn't go to that. Sammy Adams, then Bruce Pearl down the road, Danny Hurley, the Woj thing. Actions have consequences. You can't just – it's like you're a little kid if you ask, like, hey, can I get out of timeout? Like, I fucked up. I could have fucked over a lot of people. And I know that. It's, you know, it's – and I know there's a ton of people out there who probably have beef with me or looking to, like, enjoy the celebration of the downfall, I guess. And they're like, well, of course he's apologizing. Like, you got caught. It's like, nah, I truthfully apologize. Or it's a relief that it went on this. Like, it's finally over. I've said it to Eddie probably on a couple of calls. He reached out, like, how you doing? Like, I needed this forever. I know it. It just gets caught up. You know, I think Dave touched on it too. Like, you read the bad comments and it sits with you and, you know, and like the wheels start turning. But for all the bad, there's way more good. People come up to you and want to take pictures and are nice and say good things. It's like, but when you let the bad get to you, it's really when you can bottom out. I just read the, like I said to Dave, it's like when you're in the lineup and the coach is like leaking it to the beat reporters. Like, I just read the book on John Starks, Anthony Mason, those 90s Knicks. Like, those guys just wanted to win. Like, they wanted to succeed. That's all I wanted to do. And when it's – you take something that somebody says and it makes it like you're not succeeding, you just go fucking
are you,
crazy.
Are you talking about me?
Yeah, but not a blame. It's just, like, in my own head. Like, you push buttons how you push buttons. You're the coach. That's how it works. So I just let it get to me. And,
well, yeah, I just didn't want you guys – like dragging the brand through the mud, begging to go to frat houses and for free tickets. I wasn't necessarily even pushing your buttons. You were making us all look bad.
That's your opinion.
No, I mean, that's a fact. Fair.
Yeah. I just thought fact. The thing that made me more.
Any frats out there want to give us four courtside tickets for free together and then take us to the best parties and fan us and feed us grapes? And treat us like royalty. Bench mobs in town. Whoop, whoop. Right. I mean, that's a bad way to do it.
There was definitely some tweets out there. Who's selling? We're willing to buy the tickets. We bought the tickets in Indiana. We're willing to buy the tickets. I thought the toughest part was when you were like I don't need, you know, you ripped this for 15 minutes. We touched on this when I saw you Friday. And then Kareem's like, you're like, I don't even know why they're out there. And Kareem's like, well, it's sold. You're like, oh, well, good for them. I guess my question was why.
That's credit to me.
Yeah. Well, why bury us first and then come back on it?
Why bury you first? Because I was on Twitter. Hey, any frats out there want to take us to party and we're going to carry us around on an elephant and fucking feed us grapes and strawberries and, you know, just show us the best time in the world? Bench mob's here. Whoop, whoop. Right. That's why I buried you.
Fair. You're the coach. I got you. I just want you to know.
But that's the answer. I didn't go out of my way looking for it. You guys were literally all over Twitter embarrassing a brand that I spent 20 years building in one quick trip.
All right.
How was the day you got sent home? How would you rate that? As in,
let me just say this, Eddie. And I like Rico, and I'm a player's coach. That's why I'm still here. If that high noon hit Big T, Rico could be in jail. I could be in jail. And his company could be done. He could have murdered him. Continue.
Thoughts on that, Rico?
Yeah, I obviously know that. I'm not proud of it. I blacked out when I threw it. I don't remember throwing it. It's not good, but I don't remember throwing it.
How was anger management?
What'd you say? The day I left, that was tough.
The day you left was tough?
Yeah, I mean, it's so crazy, like, our relationship that a ton of people were like, yo, that's staged, right? Like, is this real? Like, they had no idea, which I guess is alarming, you know, to, like, let it get like that. A ton of people reached out. A ton of people didn't reach out. There's definitely relationships I have to repair. Anger management's been good. It's just, like, learning, like I said, like not, you know, like Dave can push your buttons, but you don't want to go nuts on it. He's also the guy who gives you the opportunity to do what you like. So you got to find you got to find the common mix.
He's framing, like Dan and I requested to speak with a therapist because he's framing. He's basically got a highlight tape that he's showing the therapist that you know, he'll try to make himself look like he's getting bullied without showing the entire situation. So the therapist is like, yeah, I can see how that's hard to deal with. The therapist is not getting the full picture.
Wait, really? Wait, you're showing her?
Yes.
You're showing her fucking Deke Zucker clips? What's going on in these sessions?
No, I think, yeah, she did some research. I mean, it's client doctor privilege. I don't have to discuss too much. But I will say that, like, I definitely learned some things. Like, you can be mildly miffed.
It's one of his statements. You can be mildly miffed.
You got to be content with content. Like I said, like, yeah, he breaks your balls, but you have the opportunity to be on the floor at Indiana. Like, you're interviewing the number one pick. You know, like, you got to figure that out. That's kind of where it's at. The one thing, you know, like, people are always like.
Has she declared yet that you're a psychopath?
No. Are you, like, rooting for that?
No, I just like to fast forward the process because I know you are. So let's get the cards on the table.
I would hope that you see the good in people.
Psychopath can have good, but you are a psychopath.
All right.
You're not?
I don't believe so. I've definitely had some bad moments. But no, that same urge of throw, like, that ability to throw a can, it's like I said, it's like a lot like John Starks. He fucking headbutts Reggie Miller, but he also goes for 25 in the fourth quarter. Like, I got it. I'm you got to eliminate the technical fouls. I could still score. I've always been able to score.
The ability to throw a can? So the ability to become unhinged?
In a sense, yeah. To get a tech.
I get what you're saying. I get it completely.
He left the bench in 97.
So one of your talents, so to speak, is the ability to become unhinged.
No.
I actually think it is, content-wise.
Yeah, to an extent, I guess. But it gets a little exhausting, too. Like, and that's
becoming
why
unhinged.
It's a release.
Yeah.
Like, I love doing that. You got to mix it up. If you're going 100 miles an hour, you're eventually going to crash, which I did. That's why I like doing the dog walk every once in a while. Like, mix it up. You're not fully on. I like doing the interviews on bench. Like, you got to go a little bit. But it felt like you were only – there were also times where you were pushing buttons too. You're hanging guys in front, like, hoping to get a reaction. It's like, can't I – like, I don't want to have the react. You know what I mean? I don't want to always be nuts.
Yeah, but Well, you're born that way. But the only thing that I'd say about that is, like, I wasn't even there when you tried to murder Big T.
Right, but you were there spiritually or in my head. You were definitely
right,
in my head.
But so there is a theory out there that he was metaphorically throwing the high noon can at me. No, I'm serious. That's, like, really being said out there.
Can you confirm or deny that?
I would never try to throw a can from here to Miami. Let's put it that way. But there were definitely voices in my head.
Hey, and this is all, again, over them in that trip they took where they embarrassed the brand.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, you were igniting the fire a little bit.
And by
the
way, again, this Rico's problem is Rico thinks everything's about Rico. He's still Mico Bosco. And I said to him, Rico, I do this with everybody. Somebody, was it office manager Brett? Was it Saratoga or somewhere? He's like, hey, I'm in this section. I'm looking for free beers. I ripped them apart. Anytime you go on social media, you start begging for free shit and you're a low-level guy, I don't like it.
That's a trigger.
Is that a technique?
Yeah, I would hope that you take. I think you did that as a trigger. Well, whatever. Like I said, I'm just happy to be on the 53 man roster. Happy to be dressed, but to say low level, I think is trigger. Because when there is big games, they always go to me. So whatever. But I would hope that you take back that low level comment because I don't think it's warranted.
You just gotta learn to roll with it, Rico. That's my opinion.
Well, that's it. He says it's a trigger, and which we are going to allow. We talked about this nap time. So he's got to get. It's one of his new techniques to take naps when he gets really upset, And I am willing to put a nap room into Barstool HQ, like he, Frank the Tank, Kate's baby. They can all just go take a quick snoozeroo, recharge the batteries, and come back out.
Yeah.
Rico.
Like but before the Super Bowl, he took a quick nap. He was getting triggered. He went, took a nap.
Rico, you said that there were some people that didn't reach out, people you got a repair relationship with. Was there anyone in particular you were disappointed in that they didn't reach out, or you know that you want to make things better?
Nobody owes me anything. Don't think it's a scorecard type thing, but I had heard reactions or like some, and you're like, man, I fucked that up too. So, yeah, I'm just taking note of it.
Did you hear this story, Eddie?
What?
Did you hear this story, Eddie? We were at dinner in Louisiana.
Beautiful dinner.
And Rico's to my right. He turns to me. He's like, how's Savannah dealing with all this stuff? I'm like, the business insider? It's tough. He goes, no. I know she's a big Rico fan. How's she dealing with the suspension? He was dead serious.
Well, she
tweeted. He was dead serious.
She tweeted. I don't know. Like, somebody's dead. Like, you're a rider. She's like, yeah, I'm a rider. So I assumed
it was the business insider sexuals. How's she dealing with all the stuff you're going through? The business insider? No. Like, I know she's a Rico, like a rider. My suspension must be tough on her. He was dead serious. That should tell you everything you need to know about Rico Bosco.
She said she
He's driving down the highway, and every single billboard is Rico Ryder on it. Like, there's nothing else. He's just – it's all Rico. He's Rico Bosco, and I'm fine with it. The rage, all of it can stay. He just can't get physical. He can't try to kill somebody.
Right.
That's all.
But to that extent, though, I will say, you're like, you know, everybody's like, hey, they push your buttons because you give them a reaction. They push your buttons because they give them the reaction. I get it. And I've always said I'll break bowls with the family. Like, Eddie's a perfect example. Like, with those guys, like, I'll break chops with anybody. But at what point, like, when you're like, oh, we do it because he gets a reaction, at what point do you get to keep needling past a certain line?
If need be, I'll chain you to the desk.
Okay.
So you can have those reactions, but you can't. It essentially is no different than putting a criminal in jail.
Okay.
Like Hannibal Lecter, put a mask and chains, and then we can do it. But if you have that urge to murder, you physically can't. I'm willing to do that.
Eddie, would you Fair. Eddie, as a neutral guy, would you say there are people who definitely know the button pushing and do it just to kind of elevate themselves, or do it out of, like, hatred or whatever? Like, don't you think
I like Big T, you mean?
Kind
of. Didn't you initiate that when you tried to murder him, didn't you initiate it?
I made a stupid comment, yeah.
Yeah, so then how's that his fault?
There were definitely points before that where I didn't throw the first punch.
Who threw the first fight punch overall with him?
You.
Because he's just trying to make content, which everyone's trying to do.
Right, so then when you say punch, though, like, just not associating with anybody, isn't that, like, a non-aggressive act? That's what I'm saying. Like, people keep coming into the studio, and I eliminate myself, knowing what I'm capable of. But then you keep doing it, and you keep doing it, and you keep doing it. Somebody's going to break. I'm not saying it's an excuse, but I laid it out from the get-go, like, hey, I don't want to be a part of that. That's bad for me. It's like giving an addict drugs. Keep me away from
it's like half the – it was at one point half the company.
Not half the company.
It's a lot of people. No one else has those stipulations.
It's really only the people who throw first. That's all. That's in my own head.
You've thrown first in every single situation. You have thrown first in every single situation.
That's a narrative that you're unwilling to change. The singing cowboy came in and said, I should be on Pick'em. That guy sucks. How's that not the first punch? I was in the office like once a week for 3 months. So people using me, it's the same as Ravel. That's why I flipped out on him the other day. Don't use me to elevate yourself.
What did Ravel say about you?
He said something about Barstool. He was shitting on the Overs jackets.
Oh.
So I just said, trigger. And I said, don't use us to elevate yourself.
Okay.
Then Rico, I asked him if you... Yeah, go ahead, Eddie.
Are you,
I'm willing to hear your opinion, though, Eddie. I respect you as a friend.
Say it one more time. Say the question.
Like, that there's definitely people who know.
Like, they're trying to benefit it off the poking.
Trying to set you off, yeah.
Yeah. I would say there are varying circumstances where at points they are. But I would say some people know. Like, I would say, facts are facts. Like, you did damage some guy's work reputation or their work at this company. That's true. You would admit that, right?
Fair. How did the entire time before they got here, though, what was their comments and tone towards me?
Sure. There have been shots, and you're a one. And if you're not outside, if you're outside the family per se, in your words, and you take a shot, you're dead. They're dead to you. So I get it. I get it to an extent.
No, it's just, I mean, it's an exclusive. This is an exclusive company. It's hard to get here. There's a million people who want to be here. So I'm in the door, and based on that, Dave and Dan hired me. Like, don't try to get me out. How am I not supposed to then fight for my spot? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But nobody's ever tried to get you out.
I disagree.
Rico. You dead seriously thought we did the pen deal to squeeze you out?
No.
Yeah, no, you believe that. You literally believe that. You believe that. It's on tape. You believe that. You thought it was the long.
I had a long drive. I wasn't rested. I will say that. So you start to hear voices on a long drive by yourself, and you maybe you're keeping the conversation. You're staying alert. You float some ideas. I didn't necessarily believe it. Eddie, to that extent, though, forcing
the
people
longest
out.
Con of all time. He literally thought the pen deal was done just to get him out.
Eddie, how many people have come in gambling wise that haven't, that are just their own? They're successful on their own, and I'm very good friends with Marty, Jerry, Kelly, Megan, Zero Prop, Brandon. Well, I broke his balls in the beginning, but after a while, Brandon was really the X factor. I was like, you know what? The guy's fucking good. Don't break his balls. Like, don't retire that. But if you take a shot, that's really the only way. Dave, you attest to that or no? Every person that comes in, I'm looking to you get them out, or am I accepting them? Because
I feel like you attack LaDuca for no reason.
That's the one that I'm not sure of as well, Rico. I will agree with him on that.
To disrupt, I mean, it's not your show, and you come in and wear a hateful jacket. Yeah, I guess to an extent, but I didn't. I mean, it was.
Wait. What was the hateful jacket?
Toledo.
I mean, come on. What are we talking about? He wore that's it. He wore a hateful jacket.
There was some.
I mean, that's crazy.
They did a Boston radio comment that I.
He wears a hateful jacket.
They did 35 minutes. Yeah. They did 35 right. minutes on Boston radio.
You
saying some pretty bad stuff.
Where
that
do
I said,
you think
hey,
you
Dave,
got the hateful
I think
jacket?
That's over the line. And
you gave
said
him the hateful jacket.
You said
you
deal with. You said
you
deal with.
Well, who do you think gave him the hateful jacket?
Was sure, it
was given.
Rider. Sure, it was given to him.
May have been somebody on Mount Rideable.
Sure, it was given to him. But by the same token, somebody.
Trigger? Nap? Do you need to
no,
take a nap?
I'm just saying.
Nap.
I'm just saying.
Are you
there was a lot.
Up,
there's
take,
a lot of times
take
where
a
it was
nap.
Like I
go
kept being like, Dave, you're gonna allow
nap.
Like that? You're gonna allow
nap.
This?
Nap.
We're gonna talk over each other. We're adults.
Nap.
You're pushing. Come on.
Nap.
Are you gonna interact with these people now, Rico?
Are we gonna be adults? Says the guy who throws a full high noon. To try to murder somebody. Are we going to be adults here? Come on. Nap.
There's a lot of nap. The culture that you, it seemed nap. Like you were like, deal with it. So you dealt with it how you dealt with it. You
yeah, because that's
it,
our culture. That's our culture. It all happens right. That you're a psychopath. That's why you got to go to therapy all and right. Stay in it to deal with it. Because I can't say in a culture where we bust balls, no one can bust Rico's balls because he's a psycho.
I think there's a difference between busting balls and like, hateful shit. Some of it had been hateful shit.
So wearing a Toledo jacket, that's hateful
nope.
Shit?
No, they had done hate. I'm not going to get into it. It's in the past. They had done hateful. Some of the stuff they did
LaDuca?
Was hateful shit.
I just asked LaDuca. You're like, you wore a hateful jacket.
Yeah. No, he on radio, I had a problem with what he did on radio. But that's besides the point. Eddie, that's a complicated question.
So you don't know if you're going to interact with them?
It's like when Tony, you know, Christopher says one of the steps is like apologizing to all the people I fucked over. And Tony's like, maybe we just let sleeping dogs lie. Like, I don't know. Like, what's Feidelberg?
He's a complicated
I haven't
guy.
Talked to Feidelberg in 12 years. What's he supposed to say? You know, like, is I know Big T wants no part of it. Like, at a certain point, it's kind of like.
Surprising that Big T's not.
I don't really know.
You and Feidelberg go back 12 years?
Feidelberg hates him, right?
No, it's misunderstood. It's probably I probably overreacted a little bit, but to the same extent, I think he is definitely some shots. When I did the retirement thing, he tweeted a celebration gif, like everyone celebrate now or let's all celebrate, like one of those. So, like I said, it's hard to get in here. So when it seems like people don't want you in or don't want you in the lineup, you just take note of that. Like
I thought we weren't doing
like John Starks, undersized, like hard to get in. Like I'm fighting for my fucking spot every day.
I saw him on the plane reading The Garden Bleeds or whatever, and he reads a book and forget about it.
I've read a million books.
You're a big book reader. Congrats.
I'm just saying that's. I've always been like that though, Eddie, and you know it. You said it. It's personal to a lot of people. You got to fight for your spot.
What about third string QB?
No, that's hate. That's hateful intent, I feel like. A ton of things have been hateful intent. And it was, like I said, where I kept being like, Dave, I don't want to be the bad guy here. I'm going to do something bad. I keep eliminating myself. And you're like, and they kept saying, deal with it. So how do you deal with it? You talk to yourself. You fucking go, you internalize it. And that's what I'm working on. Try not to internalize it.
Mildly miffed. It's okay to be mildly miffed in nap time.
I just think you can – I mean, you've seen a couple of people lose their marbles. I think just you be a little bit more aware of when people are like alerting you, like, "Hey, this one's bad."
Rico,
like, this is
yeah. But I've known you're a psycho since I met you. I like you. That Dan said it the other day. His biggest fault was not realizing just how crazy you were. I knew it. I knew it instantly, Eddie. We had dinner with this guy. And I left dinner, and I go, he's got nothing going on upstairs. He's just nuts. But I like him. But he's a psychopath.
I would say I have a lot going on upstairs. That's what
maybe
that's,
too much.
Yeah, maybe too much.
But
don't say nothing. Nothing is an airhead.
But where normal people, certain things connect, and you stay in reason, in reality, that part's missing for Rico. He lives on a different planet that nobody else lives on. We have a couple of those guys.
Wouldn't be acting within reason, eliminating yourself from those situations a million times like I did, and people keep
he really
keep,
that's his
you guys
latest.
Keep doing
he
it.
He wants
keep
a
doing
lot
it.
Of credit for leaving.
There's no reason for part-time people to be dropping in streams when you know it's going to affect.
But Rico, you've only been full-time for like 10 seconds.
All right, fair.
And these have been wars that have been going on for decades.
Fair.
Let me say this. I'm a rider.
Yeah. That's
I
part
like
of it,
Rico.
Too. I there was a lot that I thought he hate. Like, I was like, he hates me. Fuck, he's killing me. He wants to see me die. He's killing me. He's killing me. But it's the more you realize it, like, who backs their player like this?
I mean, he's nuts. This guy almost threw himself off the roof of his house because he thought I was going to DJs without him. He's crazy. But I like him, but he's crazy.
Is the government name, is that allowed to be said, or is that still off limits?
And that's also, we tried to tell him, if he just shut up about that, no one would say it. He's so dumb that he doesn't get how to defuse situations. If he just... Oh, I don't care. Call me your name. It's your fucking name. You're full-time here. Nobody would do it. But he sets a line in the sand, and once it's set, no matter how ridiculous it is, he can't get off of it.
I am strong in my convictions. I will say that. I disagree with what you say there. Like, everyone has their own separation, and it's hard, Eddie, like – some people you just get to go home and separate it a little bit. Like, I get it. It is a job where it's not 9 to 5. You're on a lot, but you do need a little bit of that separation. So when people think They're and like I said, 95% of our fan base is good. They don't they're good people. They just want to talk to you, like talk sports. They're fun when you see them out. It's the 5% that I think
but that's
bother me that's all- that think they're entitled to dive into your life story or
but
whatever.
But Rico, that's everybody, like everybody. And the more you acknowledge, the more you address it, the more that they want to do it. I've said it as myself. I'll say it to Silvana. It's like, don't fucking engage, because engaging shows that they're getting to you.
I didn't necessarily well, whatever. I laid it out to you from the beginning to try not to do it. And like I said, you kept doing it like a deal with it, deal with it, deal with it type thing. But
what do you mean deal with what?
That I kept just trying to shut that down like immediately.
But you can't. You're a public figure.
All right.
Are you, Rico, are you open to doing the Hannibal Lecter cart?
No, I think, I mean.
Well, we'll have to see. I don't want to have to do it, but if I think he's close to murder, if he's not getting his naps in and he's getting triggered a lot, I don't want to lose this guy. But I can't stick my neck out there and have a workplace where people feel like at any moment Bosco could murder them.
I don't think I need it, Eddie. Put it that way.
What if we broker a deal though here, Rico, where we could somehow do week one pick 'em at DJ's live, but you have to be wheeled on in a Hannibal Lecter dolly to the stage before the show.
That's I mean, if the people would be, that's, yeah, that probably would work. It's raining napkins. They wheel you in. Frank and Kip wheel you in. Fun Anthony's got the key and like a gag mask. That's.
But let me say this, and this could be used against me in future hit pieces. If Rico Bosco kills somebody at the office, they're going to say, why did Dave ever let back this murderer? It's obvious he had a screw loose, and it was only a matter of time till he killed. And yet Dave let him back. So nobody has put their neck on the line more for Rico than I have. It's my livelihood. I'll be in jail. If Rico kills somebody, and we know he's capable of it, but I'm like, let's reform him. He hasn't been here that long to already basically attempted murder. And if he comes back, I let him come back a month later, and now he actually kills somebody, Rico will go down for it. I'll go down for it. Dan will go down for it. The company will go down for it. So I don't want to hear any more of this. I'm not a rider. I'm the number one rider by letting this madman back in the office. But if people don't feel safe, we'll have to chain them to a desk.
Yeah, no, I've learned that. You put a lot of risk behind it. Absolutely. Not a lot
correct.
Of people. Listen, maybe it's this. You know, Dr. Melfi may have phrased it kind of a similar way, but you give somebody long enough of a leash, they can choke themselves. So maybe
that's not just Dr. Melfi. That's like
I'm just saying
well known saying.
I had a really long leash, you know. Maybe it's
but you didn't. You weren't trying to hang.
It's a gift
right,
and a
you,
curse. I had
you weren't I trying had, to hang yourself though. You were trying to hang other people in the office with it.
But you could get I tangled myself up. That's what I.
Yeah, but you also had it tightly around Big T's neck. And we're like, had him on a chair and we're trying to kick the chair
fair.
Out.
Fair.
You
just
if
gotta,
you just hang yourself,
you
we can live with it.
You got to see the just, good. I got to see the good.
If you just hang yourself, I can live with it. If you're going around putting the noose on all our people's necks, it becomes an issue for everybody.
Okay. You're right. I got to be, you know, I got to be happy with what's going on. There's a lot. I do have a lot of good.
A lot
going
of positives.
On. Yes.
I'm seeing a lot of growth, I'll be honest. There's a lot of comments where I see your facial expression ready to turn into, like, the angry gumball, and you're just like, you know.
I mean, you've seen it, Eddie. There's been a million conversations where I was ready to lose it a bunch of – you know what I mean? But I think ultimately it's like, why is this guy ready to lose it? He's not just a full-blown nut. It's just because I want to succeed. And, like, I want when we're having the big celebration in the yacht party and Dave's thanking the players, I just want to be one of the players. Like, I just want to fucking be like, hey, when the career's over, you know what? That guy hit for me. That guy scored.
And it's tough, too. It's tough, too, because you got a guy claiming that he's a player's coach, but, you know, some would say otherwise. So
I think he's definitely a player's coach, but he's tough.
He tried to kill somebody.
A lot of things led to that point.
But I mean, you attempted murder in the office, and you're sitting here on the pod. So yes, I'm a player's coach. Mildly miffed. Take your naps. Take your Flintstone vitamins. If you're feeling like the blood pressure's getting out there, remove yourself, curl into a ball, turn the lights off, take a power nap, come back. That's what I want.
Yeah. You got to drink. You got to, Eddie, like, I know it's, you don't want to say you bottom out to get better, but, like, you do have to drain the tub to wash all the shit out. There was a lot of shit upstairs. So drain the tub, and now let's fill it back up.
I got you. I love it, Rico. Well, thank you for hopping on. I'm happy you're back, man.
And nobody's rooting for him more than me. Trust me. Not only because I'm sticking my neck out there for him, but I truly like Rico. And hopefully, in all seriousness, he had to go to anger therapy. He was a lunatic. It's long overdue. And hopefully it helps him not only in this part of his life, but all of his life moving forward.
Yeah, do you believe that, Rico? Do you believe that?
Eddie, I had to go for a long time. I just think it's – I always thought that there's a stigma of, like, it's admitting something's wrong with you or, like it's just a week. I don't know. It was tough. But I don't know. I used to lose my shit because I forgot my keys back upstairs. I had to go back up the stairs. Like, it's just tough. It's tough. It's tough.
Yeah. But do you believe he's rooting harder for you than anybody else?
Yeah. No, without a doubt.
I am.
Yeah. There's three people who at any point could, like Dan said, I think to Kirk, he was like, listen, it's like a like any kind of player. Like, if the talent outweighs all the shenanigans, you can put up with the talent. I put you guys in a spot where you had to question it for the first time ever. It's like maybe the shenanigans outweigh the talent. And I regret that immensely, and I apologize for it.
And even business side, I don't want – like, I want it to work.
Right. I'm invested too now. I mean, especially, you know, I'm in. So I got nothing – you know, this is it. I believed in myself. It's just tough when, you know, it felt like you just take things the wrong way. You read the paper. I mean, you said it too. You read Reddit, like you read that shit, you let it get to you, and you're not focusing on the good. You got to focus on the good.
Focus on the good. Focus on the good, Rico. Thank you.
Thanks.
Now what, Eddie?
Let's talk about Roman, Dave. Let's do some Roman here. How do you last longer in bed? What's the best way to last longer in bed during sex?
Roman puts them on the hard dick business. Go to GetRoman.com/Dave. You can get your first month of swipes for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. That's GetRoman.com/Dave. Again, they're clinically proven way to last longer in bed. Roman swipes the hard dick business. Effective, easy to use, fast acting. Don't require a prescription. Trying to, like, remember, you know, the starting line nine in a baseball team doesn't always work. The folks at Roman, an online men's health company, are changing the game with Roman swipes, the secret to longer lasting sex. Fast, easy to use. They fit in your wallet. Can't even see them. Just take the swipes out of the packet, swipe it on, let it dry, and boom, you're ready to fuck. Go to GetRoman.com/Dave. You can get your first month swipes for just $5. When you choose a monthly plan, that's GetRoman.com/Dave.
So what do you think? You think he's rehabilitated?
For now, I think he's making progress. I do. I think he knows he went too far and over the line, and he doesn't want to do it again. So we're joking. He's going to take his naps, and he's going to identify when he's triggered, and I think he will be good moving. I think he knows he fucked up.
Do you believe he'll have another freak out on camera?
Yes, but no, I don't think violence.
Okay. Do you any time?
I'm fine with him freaking out. You just can't make, like, you can't. The line is, if Big T's worried he's going to throw a fucking can at his head, that's the problem.
Mm-hmm. And is there like a date, you think? Like, do you have like an over under on this, or
no,
what's your?
No.
So that's good. There's no shenanigans. You're rooting for goodness here.
I am rooting for him. I like Rick. I've known him for a long time.
How would you rate the Barstool Super Bowl week? Give it a grade.
B+.
Okay. What did you think went particularly well?
I thought everything at Saddle Ranch went well. The Yak, the BFF show. I know PMT got a bunch of interviews. The VIP thing went well. The only reason it's not an A is we didn't like hijack it with some stunt like we've done in years past, but no, I thought it was a good week.
Were you impressed with Saddle Ranch? Did you think that was a good venue for everything? Would you do it
there again?
Yes,
it was perfect. They're a little bit difficult to work with, but the outside venue is perfect.
Because was it true they were having a hard time like figuring something that big out?
What do you mean?
Because I heard that was like one of the biggest, like Saddle Ranch, like has the biggest parking lot, like area with the bar combination, that kind of thing. Or was that just because it's such a TikToker place? Is that why you wanted it?
Well, I knew where it was. I knew the venue was perfect for it. So,
was it weird for you sitting there talking, you know, Summer Rae and Addison Rae versus like the game?
No, I mean, listen, L.A. is a very, like, influencer market, so it made perfect sense for BFF. Maybe I would have liked to talk a little bit more football, but I'm just trying to get the most diverse crowd we can possibly get to follow Barstool one way or the other. And I know Yak and Dan and PMT and those guys have football and all that shit on lockdown. So I'm getting a different crowd, and it's all good. I don't care. Who knows? I want as many people, as many diverse groups, as many fans as we can get, so we hit people from all angles. So that's what I'm trying to accomplish.
If it wasn't
in L.A., we wouldn't have done BFF, obviously.
It's a different situation. Yeah, I hear you. Is there the dozen, I thought, went pretty well.
Yep, that Jeff did a great job, obviously, of the tragedy in his family. Played through it, and people loved it. That was fun.
Did you see the
Chicks in the Office? They had a good live show.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good week.
Yeah. Did you see? I saw KFC Radio. Him and John talked a little bit about it. Seemed a little disappointed they didn't go. Did you talk to them at all?
So I didn't really pick who went. It's who got sold. That's period. It's like we're not just sending people to send people. It's very expensive. Does Kevin and John have enough seniority and clout to be like, hey, we definitely want to come to go? Yeah, they probably do. But I heard about it after. I actually thought Kevin was going. Like, I was like, on Monday or Sunday night, I'm like, what time are we doing the rundown? Are we doing it live? He's like, oh, I'm not there. But having said that, everybody wants to go. It's so expensive. We're probably on of companies that send people. We send a bigger delegation per the size of our company than most. It's just people don't sometimes forget Barstool's like actually a company and everything costs money. Like it's so expensive Super Bowl week. LA is so expensive. So yes, just because you want to go doesn't mean you can go. That's not how it works. The reason the dozen was there, it was sold.
What was LA? Was that the worst Super Bowl city you've been to?
No, I mean, towards the end of the week, it started feeling like Super Bowl. It's just super spread out in such a big city. That's why we didn't do a party, because it's like we don't want to compete versus all these other parties. So expensive.
Yeah, it's hard to compete against a live Bieber concert and whatnot, right?
And places that are built for celebrities and already have all the connections. Like, it's not like you're going to, Minnesota.
It's a little different. And then, so you went from there, and then you immediately flew to Louisiana to kind of get up with the recently launched Louisiana sportsbook app. How was the take on Super Bowl? Do you have anything like that yet?
What do you mean?
Like how did Barstool do?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know the numbers.
You don't know?
The app didn't break. I was happy about that.
That was very nice. Yep. You expected it to, correct?
Yeah, I did because it broke last year. I was on fire with my props as like 8-1.
I saw that too. You were very good day. Ben Mintz stole the show at the half. Was that planned? Was that before the Snoop?
Ben Mintz said to Dan 5 minutes before halftime, I have a halftime show planned. And that was the first we heard of it. Like, what are you talking about? I was like, well, I'm going to rap that song. And he sure did. It was electric.
So was that before the real halftime show? Or
like, yes, before.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, if you missed the real one, what did you think of the real one?
It was before. It's hard to really watch it in that environment.
It's very hard. Like I didn't catch any commercials or anything. We were at the bar.
No.
In the North.
I've been out of commercials forever because the Patriots play in so many Super Bowls. When you're at the game, you don't see them. So
true.
Commercials are kind of dead to me in general. How was the bar?
Oh, it was good. It was crowded. Obviously, I love the basement. It's a great spot to watch a game.
Yeah.
So it was good. We did have a. I guess a top hater kind of go down last week. I don't know if you want to touch on that.
The girl?
Yeah.
What's her name?
Marissa Ajemi.
She sucks. Marissa Ajemi is a writer who hates Barstool. She's hated us forever. She's written, I don't know how many negative articles about us. Anytime we do anything, the Bruins towels that we handed out outside the game, that became a controversy because of her. I know she wrote about Erica and the Women's Hockey League. And where she wrote an article in Vice where she said, I made fun of Deanna Lang for being paralyzed in the Women's Hockey Classic way back when. And as people know their Barstool history, that's just a total lie. Not only did I not make fun of her, and what type of psycho would, but we did a fundraiser, charity drive, drew a lot of attention to the cause, raised a ton of money. And I called her out in real time when this happened. She wrote the article in Vice. They deleted what she wrote, which was a lie. Never apologized, never said anything. She's full of shit. She's everything that she'll just make stuff. I mean, she should have been fired for that. Imagine making that lie up, never addressing it, just deleting it, be like, oops, pretend I never said it. So she got fired from the Seattle Times or something. She's complaining like, oh, I don't know why I got fired. They should tell me. And I just resurfaced. Well, you're one of the worst journalists who ever lived. You're a flat-out liar. You've made shit up about us. So, yeah, it was good to see some karma.
That, to me, is one of the most infuriating pieces ever written about Barstool.
Yeah, they're all infuriating. They're all – this just happened that she got so caught with her hand in the cookie jar, like just flat lying. We don't get that type of very obvious proof that much where it's like you just said I made fun of a hockey player who got paralyzed. I have all the evidence we did a fundraiser and she loves us and wears the merch. Just never addressed it. They literally just deleted what she wrote and never said a word about it.
And that's the point. Like, there's something different between, like, someone wanting to die on the hill about one of the jokes you made many years ago and, you know, or just going with the crowd and being like, oh, people say this is bad, so this is why I don't like Barstool. This was actually a blatant lie.
Blatant.
And, like, it was fucking, like, that was a very serious injury. You know, like, I don't know. That was, like, fuck this lady. This is one of the worst ones ever.
But that's who we deal with. And yeah. And I just almost, it's like, at least we have the con. All the people don't like me, from her to Deadspin to Daily Beast to Business Insider, this is who's writing it.
Yeah.
They lie, they cheat, they steal. We have the example there, but you can't, this is them. This is who retweets the articles. This is them. This is who fucking Minka Kynes is retweeting. Like, liars. I mean, to just, literally, they never addressed it. That, it's crazy. But that was, that's who we're dealing with.
And we got barf-stooled by Deadspin for it.
Yeah. That, right, and that's it. They're like, oh, Barstool celebrates a writer getting fired. Yeah, I celebrate her ass. I hope she's in jail.
A couple inside Barstool, and then we'll do some listener emails. We'll get out of here. I saw Nick and Sass have a new.
I'd also like to say I'm so incredibly tired. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Well, do you think just because the time change?
The week, maybe, yeah.
You see, that's, you went back, and I asked you the same thing before. So, the Nick and Sass, they got a variety show, a sketch show.
Good for them.
The Dion doc looks like season two is about to drop.
Yeah, got a lot of press because he went through all that trouble where he had the blood clots, almost lost his leg.
Yeah, that's going to be very intriguing. Look out for that. I know. What do you think about Dana Beers dropping that trailer at halftime?
I didn't know he did it.
Yeah, he said it was probably not a great move. and then the Philly show. The Philly bar, it had like a soft opening, or what's the
deal
there?
Yeah, it's not going to be open for a little bit, but they were able to do like a private event for the Super Bowl.
Okay.
It won't be open until around March Madness, I don't think.
Okay.
For the public.
And I assume you'll kind of be there around the launch and everything?
Yeah, yep. I think tentatively, I don't want to even say, I'll wait till we get the exact dates.
So I got something here too that just came out actually while we're recording. They did a top 10 original sports podcast for 2021. This was like the Barrett Sports Media. You ever heard of them?
Yeah, sure.
Who do you guess? Any guesses on the list here?
Top 10 sports podcasts?
Top 10 original sports podcasts of 2021 per voting conducted by Sports Radio Pod. This is Jason Barrett. He's the president of Barrett Sports and News Media.
PMT 1?
PMT is 2.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern for the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1. Every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 this Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
McAfee won?
Lebatard Show won.
Okay.
PMT 2. Bill Simmons 3. SVP's Pod 4. Adam Schefter's Pod 5. Dave Portnoy Show got voted 6. Woj's
We're not even in that category, I would say. Would you?
I think we're on the business tag, to be totally honest with you, but if people voted us, we'll take it, right?
Sure.
Woj's Pod got voted 7. Colin Cowherd, 8. KFC Radio got 9.
I mean, they're not sports either.
No, and then Clay Travis's Outkick got 10. So.
I mean, that list is kind of a crazy list. Like, how? There's no way we should be in this above Chicklets or Foreplay. I mean, yeah, it's crazy.
It was kind of all over
the place. I mean, we shouldn't be on that list. KFC shouldn't be on that list.
It was, yeah.
And PMT is better than Lebatard.
Chicklets was 11th. Token CEO was 19th. Foreplay wasn't on there.
This list makes no sense. Sports podcasts? Those aren't sports podcasts.
Yeah, we're on the business tab, I believe. I think that's what our clarification or our genre is or whatever. Is there anything you said last week? Rough and Rowdy. Can you say anything more?
No updates.
Okay, I'll keep asking. Just let us know when you could update it.
Just said recording stopped.
Yeah, it's good.
It's okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll do a couple listener emails, Dave. We'll get out here.
All right.
The first one's from Cliff. Does the pirate dog have a name?
No, pirate dog. That's his name. No, he doesn't have a name beyond that, no.
This next one's from William. Outside of you and part of my take, who/which brand makes the most money for the company?
Foreplay makes a lot.
More than Chicklets?
I don't know.
This next one's from Gasper. When Alex Cooper left, you said that you still have plans to work with her. Are those still in play?
I mean, we still work with her. We do all our merch. I was going to personally do something with her. I'm not sure if that's happening.
Can you say what that was?
No.
So the merch, that's what's like callerdaddy.com or whatever, that's still us?
Yeah, that's still us.
And is it still, like, fucking tearing it up like it was when she was
with
us?
Yeah, she still kills it. I mean, Cooper's bigger than ever.
So, yes, half answer, I guess I would say. Next one from Chris. What is the status of Biz and Whitney's contracts? Did you expect them to blow up like they did?
We're pretty locked in with them. I don't think they're going anywhere anytime soon. I feel like they were a gradual. I don't feel like they were like an overnight sensation. I mean, Spin Chicklets has been around for a long time. Rear started it, and then Witt joined, and then Biz joined, and then Granelli's came on. So, I mean, I think that has not been like a Call Her Daddy blow up. Yes, it's the best hockey podcast by a mile. So their success does not surprise me. And I don't think it's overnight. It's been a long grind.
Yeah, I guess it wasn't blow up like they did. Like they got a vodka, like all these things. Like it's definitely
yeah, it
become.
Surprise me.
Next one from Christian here. Barstool's had success with reality shows recently. Is there any chance that a dating show will be coming soon?
I can see it happening. I tried to do the Hankshiller or whatever it was a long time ago. So, yeah, I've always been into that. I think it would be good content.
You did like a GoFundMe for that, right?
Yeah. Because it was super expensive and I wasn't going to pay for it out of my own pocket to do it right. But who knows? He's a single man. Maybe we do that again with him. He'd probably be down for it.
That'd be good. Next one from Brent. Why did the documentaries disappear?
They're expensive and we got rid of Barstool Gold.
Next one from Evan. What happened to hiring Tommy Cheeseballs?
Just kind of fell through a little bit. That's probably more on my end.
Also, I want to ask a follow-up question to that last one. Barstool Gold, was that can you speak more on that now that it's kind of dead and buried?
I think I've spoken about it.
But
that was a churn-in thing.
So it was like a paywall
thing. I never wanted Barstool Gold. I did not want to charge anybody anything for premium content. I never want to do that. Chernin was adamant about that. It was something I had to give into. It was the only thing, really. We never saw eye to eye on that. And once it kind of ran its course and wasn't producing gigantic numbers, we were able to get rid of it. But I never wanted it.
So it wasn't making that much money then? Or just the views weren't good?
It wasn't like an overwhelming success.
Okay.
And the amount of work and effort to create content that was like limited to who could see it. Like what of our crew? Who wants to make content on our side? Great content that you're going to charge people for that. But then you don't get to like a wide audience for it. It doesn't work for the creator mindset. It doesn't work for what we sell people when they come here. Become a big star, and then you can go make money. Like, well, who's going to see my shit if you have to pay for it, and it's a smaller subset of your audience? I never wanted it.
So it's short-sighted in your mind?
It's not short-sighted. It doesn't work for a model. It works for other people, not for us.
Was that like a drag-out fight over that? Like, what
no,
was
not
that?
Really. No, not really.
But you just... At the end of the day, that was like a little battle you were willing to lose for.
Yeah. I mean, they really, really wanted it.
Keep it going here. This one's from David. How strong does Dave relate to his Jewishness? Is it a big part of your life?
No, not really. I mean, I relate to it because it's like anti-Semitism, all that shit. I know it's a real thing. So if I hear people being like, a smitty out there, I'll stand up and make a point out of it. But it's like I haven't been in a temple in a long ass time. I'm not overly religious.
But when you go to like your parents' house for Thanksgiving, is it, you know?
Well, that's an idiotic question. What does that have to do with Thanksgiving?
Well, I'm just saying, like, is there like prayers and stuff? Like,
when you go to Thanksgiving, is that like, do you do anything with like, what are you, Christian?
Catholic.
So how's Catholic affect Thanksgiving for you?
Well, everyone's different. That's my point. Like some people might
Thanksgiving is not a religious holiday.
All right. I fucking picked holiday eight. Dave, pick the next holiday.
There's religious holidays, Eddie. And then there's things that have nothing to do with religion, i.e.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Dave. If someone was super religious, it doesn't matter if it's a religious holiday. They will bring that into the holiday.
Into Thanksgiving?
Anything. It doesn't matter. Someone's super religious. They're like...
Like, so your birthday becomes a religious holiday?
Dude, you never know. I don't know how it works. I'm not Jewish. When do you toss on the yarmulke? When do you not? I don't know.
Well, if you're not an Orthodox Jew, you never really throw on the yarmulke unless you're in, like, a temple for, like, a wedding or a funeral or something.
All right.
So, no, I don't, Eddie, to answer your question, for Thanksgiving, I don't throw on the yarmulke. I don't blow on the shofar or that like thing. I don't light candles. I do Thanksgiving probably the same way every other American basically does Thanksgiving, except Native Americans probably are like, no thanks.
Uh-huh. Except you ruin yours and get super high. But
that one, this past one I did, but that was not a religious decision.
Okay. This one's from Zach.
Eddie, like Thanksgiving, woof.
I told you, it was just holiday A I picked. It could have been whatever.
How does being Jewish factor into Thanksgiving?
Dave, it doesn't matter. You're not understanding my
point.
Well,
it does. You got to pick like Hanukkah or like Passover or Yom Kippur.
But
Jewish
that's
holidays.
A given, dude. That's my point. That's a given. Of course you're doing Jewish shit.
Am I the only Jewish person you know?
I don't, to be completely honest, the first Jewish person I met was in college. And that's the truth. When I, you know, so that, I'm not that well versed.
Clearly.
Next one's from Zach. Can you explain the business relationship with Old Row?
We own them.
So what's it like? Patriot takes? Like, what's the difference here?
No. Well, no. We'd say we own them. They can do whatever they want.
And they're just like a merch, like kind of Twitter account, correct?
Yeah. That's what they've turned. They were like four guys. We bought them a while ago. They were big in the South. I wanted to get down South. They were exploding at the time, so we bought them.
And how come it never turned into like them getting like a blogger name and doing that whole thing?
We let them do their thing.
And that's what they chose to do?
No, that's kind of what they are. They're more like social Twitter merch.
Mm-hmm. Do you meet with them a lot, or how's?
No, I don't. Like, I have zero to do with their day to day.
Gotcha.
For a long time.
All right, two more. This one's from Corey. Dave, everyone knows by now that you got big time hardcore kinks. Have you always been that way?
What a question. I don't think they're nearly as crazy as people make them out to be. And that articles that have come out have greatly, greatly, greatly exaggerated. I don't know. You grow up, you figure out what you like.
So you adapted. Your taste has been
44. I'm old as fuck. You got to keep changing it up.
All right. It's like the what's that? Not the Soho House. What's the thing?
Zero Bond.
Zero Bond. You just keep elevating.
Yeah.
Last one here from Shamir. You seem unaffected when people leave Barstool, but is there anybody who would genuinely break your heart if they left?
Break my heart?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. Break my heart?
Well, to a lesser degree, that should be maybe upset.
I mean, it would depend on the circumstances.
Like, I feel like, you know, if someone else hired old Ballsy and they had him running around Boca doing detective work in his fake mustache, you'd be like, ah, fuck, I kind of missed
Ballsy. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that would, I don't, again, broken heart's big, but if Ballsy was out snooping the streets for somebody else, yeah, that would hurt me. Ballsy's mine. Ballsy belongs to me.
For sure. All right, that's all I got. You got anything else?
No, I'm so fucking tired. I deserve, honestly, maybe most heroic effort. I got one more. I don't know why I'm so tired. I may pull a Rico and take a quick nap.
Good. Go get your nap in. That's it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. That's it for this week. We'll be back next week. We'll see you then.
All right.
See ya.